Hey, thanks for being here today. I put a lot of time and effort into making each of these episodes for you, and I want to make each episode count. So, will you please do me a favor and fill out a short survey for me? The link for the survey is in the show notes of this episode so that I can make episodes that you want to listen to. My goal for the show is to showcase a variety of twin moms and their stories, to show you you aren't alone in this twin journey. Like today's guest, one of my very best friends, Tamara Tennell, who is a mom to five, although her five kids are a little more spread out than mine. And by the time you hear this, she'll be grandma to two as well. She thinks her story is unremarkable, which is why she hesitated to come on the show. But once you hear how much her twins weighed at birth, I'll let you decide. I'm Amber. I have five young kids, including a set of boy-girl twins. My kids were all born within 6.5 years of each other. It's a lot of kids in a little amount of time. It has been quite the journey parenting all these kids so close in age. I've learned a lot over the years, and people often come to me for advice. But let's be honest, I don't know everything. And in those cases, I turn to other moms for their advice. I believe that people living it and doing it are the real experts. So that's why each week I'll sit down with a real expert, one of my friends, a mom like you, to get all the advice you asked for. And some you didn't. This is Neighborhood Twin Mom. Welcome to the neighborhood. So I have one of my very best friends, Tamara, here. And I finally convinced her to come on the podcast. I'm so excited. And the first time, well, do you want to tell the first time we met?
No, you tell. You're probably a better storyteller than I am.
Okay. Well, how I remember it is you had posted on a twin mom group asking for like suggestions of the area because you were moving to the area. So I responded, yeah. And I think maybe you private messaged me or something
because it was about doctors.
Yeah.
I had actually only joined that group to ask about doctors, even though it was in Fort Collins. I was like, there has to be a mom in Cheyenne who knows about doctors in Cheyenne. And lo and behold, Amber Norby, you were so awesome with all of your suggestions.
Well, so then we met up because this was like a bigger group in a different city. And so then because we lived in the same city, I said, hey, let's meet at the park or something. Anyway, we meet at the park. And how old were the boys? They were like two, maybe?
Yeah, they were. Or they three. Were just about to be three. They were about to be three. Uh-huh. They were two. Well, and I remember because I was super intimidated because you're like, meet me and my friends at the park. And you had like this big group of friends. And I was like, oh man, I was just like nervous, but I was just pregnant. I just moved there. And then you come like walking in with this twin, like this stroller and this awesome hat because it was like warm outside. And I was like, she's so fancy. I remember I was like, oh my gosh, this chick is too cool for me.
That you mean that giant sun hat that I used to have?
Yes.
That's
yes.
Such a nerdy hat, Tamara.
No, it was awesome. Had like a bow on it.
I just remember that your boys fell into the waiting pool.
Oh my gosh.
Like or one or both of them. And I thought
one of them, yes.
I thought, oh, this is gonna be my friend because
so embarrassed.
So chill. You were so chill about it. It was like this waiting thing. It wasn't dangerous. Like I wasn't concerned about their safety kind of a thing. Like it goes through the middle of the park, but yeah, one of them got like drenched and then you're like, all right, well, I guess it's time to leave. And I walked you out to your car. I was like, oh, this girl's going to be my friend. Cause she's so calm.
I was so embarrassed. I was like, this chick's never going to talk to me again. She's going to think I'm this crazy mom that doesn't watch her kids around water.
Which is not it at all. I was like, oh, I get you. My twins were, it was nice because my twins were not even a year yet, I think, because it was the summer. Mm-hmm. Did you move in the summer?
Yeah, it was.
Okay, uh-huh. So my kids weren't even a year yet. And I was just like, oh, sweet. Now I have this mom to copy because her boys are a little bit older than my twins.
Oh, that's
but tell me when you found out, I don't think I know the story. When you found out you were pregnant with twins, how did that go?
Mike and I had been trying to have a baby.
Just one.
We had, just one baby. Yeah. He was my second marriage. And so I'd had two before and we had been married for a couple of years. And so I was like, all right, you know, it's time for us to start thinking about our own family. And we found out we were pregnant, you know, super excited. We were going to do an at-home birth with a
midwife.
Yeah. Yeah. So it wasn't like a regular doctor's office because it was a naturopath doctor office. So they didn't have all the things that you normally would have, like an ultrasound machine, you know, whatever they're called. So she sent me to this one place at 12 weeks to have the baby's measure, or the baby didn't know we were having two at that time, to have everything measured and just to make sure that they were, you know, growing well. I keep saying they. I did not know I was having two. Just want to keep saying that. Did not know I was having two. We walk in, you know, this lady is doing an ultrasound, and then it took her a couple minutes. She goes, oh, well, you're having two babies. And Mike and I both looked at her like, oh, you're kidding. And I even said that. I was like, you're joking. Like, for real, you have to be kidding. She goes, no, you're having two. There's two. Look, there's. And so I was just floored. And I mean, I just did not think. So backstory, I kind of wanted to have twins. Like, my grandma had wanted to have twins. My grandfather had an aunt and uncle who were twins. And I don't know how that works, if that runs in the family or whatnot, but so I secretly wanted to have twins. And so I'm thinking, there's no way that, like, you know, I guess my dream or my wish is going to come true. But I didn't believe her. So obviously she showed us, and Mike was just sitting there really, really quiet the whole time. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, he's freaking out. And of course I'm like bawling my eyes out and just so excited. I'm so, like, literally, I couldn't contain it. I was so excited that I was just crying and crying, and I had to stop and tell the lady, just so you know, I'm really happy about this. I didn't want her to mistake my crying for the fact that I was upset that I was about to have these two precious little babies.
Was Mike excited?
Yeah, he was. So after we left, I said, oh, you know, you were really quiet. Is everything okay? I know this is a lot to take in. And he was like, Tamara, he was like, it sounds really weird. He's like, but I always kind of like, this is how it's supposed to happen. You know, this is, of course we're supposed to have two babies. He's like, no, he's like, I was just taking it in. And he is really excited about it. For sure.
Was there ever a point after you found out? Cause I was super excited when I found out, and then I started freaking out. Did you stay excited through the whole pregnancy, or did you start to get anxiety and fears?
No, I was excited the whole time. Like, I couldn't wait. I was super excited. My only fear was that I would possibly lose one, because, you know, they're higher risk pregnancies, and not because my pregnancy was a high risk pregnancy, just because in general, they are higher risk pregnancies. And so I guess that was my fear, that I could lose one, but not necessarily. It's not like it was an irrational fear or anything like that.
Right. Right. So after you find out, did you have to switch doctors then? Or did you stay with the midwives?
Okay. I kind of consulted her, but I changed to a different doctor. Yeah. And one that was recommended by my midwife.
Your pregnancy was pretty typical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I went to 38.5, and that's only because the doctor had told me, you know, he was not going to let me go past 39 weeks, you know, for various mainly health reasons for the babies. Mike was working. He was a traveling wind technician at the time. And so he was only home 4 days a month at the time. So he had already been off like a week and a half, and my mother and father-in-law were there. They had come to help, and they had been there for a week. And it was just like, everybody was watching me. When are you going to have these babies? And so finally the doctor was like, you know what? It's fine if we induce you. So I said, okay. Cause I was really hoping that they would come naturally. And I had been dilated at like a 3 for about a week and a half already, but they just weren't, you know, deciding to come. They're boys. That's what I've, at least with my pregnancies, boys tend to come later, and the girls are usually on time. So 38.5. And so I went to the hospital at 38.4, and my doctor was not there. So I started the induction process really slowly because I did not want the hospital doctor to be there. So when we got there, Tristan was head up and Caleb was head down, and Caleb was baby A. So he had been ready to go basically for months. Tristan every week was in a different position. So of course, you know, I was concerned about that because I was hopeful to have just two natural vaginal births. And so get to the hospital, Caleb is head down, he's ready to go. Tristan is breech, basically. So I start the induction process slowly so that I could wait until my doctor got there at 7 o'clock at night. Thankfully, 7 o'clock came around, my doctor came, and everything progressed well enough to where Caleb came at 5, it was like 5:30 in the morning, and then Tristan came at like 6:07. So they were 25 minutes apart. Of course, when they're having twin babies, yeah, they roll you into the OR, you know, they're getting everything ready. Caleb, he's fine. Everything's fine. He comes out after a couple pushes, and he was ready to go. And he was small. He was 6'13".
You say that's small, but not for twins. I know. It's a big twin.
Well, yeah, that's true. But then they had given me a bunch of scenarios about what might happen after Caleb is born, everything is fine after Caleb is born. Then they check Tristan and he turned by himself. You know, everybody like cheered. It was really, it's kind of fun.
They then, checked him like, you know, they checked with like ultrasound.
Yeah. So they like made sure it had turned basically, or they wanted to like check his position. Cause like, again, they had said all these crazy things. They were like, they could, when one twin comes out, the other could shoot out, or they might have to go in there and, you know, physically move him or turn him. They thankfully they didn't have to do any of that. He turned on his own.
Yeah. My doctor told me, hey, don't worry. If twin B is breached, I'll just reach up there and pull him out by his feet. I was like, huh? Which I do. I already interviewed her, Kristen Edwards. That's how that happened to her.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot to ask her about that. But yeah, her doctor basically just pulled the second one out. Sorry. Okay. So he flips, he's head down.
So then Tristan's ready to go. And he is born vaginally. And he was 9'10". So he was 9 pounds, 10 ounces.
I remember them being big, but I thought they were closer in weight.
They weren't. And even now they are different in their height and their weight and just the way their body type is.
Yeah.
So, so it's just, it's interesting. You know, Tristan was the baby with the big head who was super chunky, and Caleb was like the tiny little scrawny baby, the sweet little baby.
I know that they're fraternal. They don't look anything alike, but did they ever talk about the different weights when you were pregnant, when you did ultrasounds? I'm sure you had a million ultrasounds. Did they ever make mention like, oh, they're two different sizes?
No. So actually it was funny. The ultrasound lady, because I brought them in for my 6-week appointment when I went in, and everybody always wants to see the babies. And so she came out and saw the babies, and she was actually really surprised by the size difference, because they were measuring like not even a half a pound off. So they really thought that they were going to be more similar in weight.
Oh, interesting. Because I remember them, my doctor was always worrying about making sure that they were like a percentage within each other or whatever, so that they weren't twin to twin transfusion, which I don't think happens very often with die-die twins like ours.
Once upon a time, my husband was getting our toddler ready for bed, and I hear him holler, "Where do we get these PJs from? I really like them." He told him I didn't know where they came from. They were hand-me-downs from a friend. And a couple days later, I did some investigating and found out they're from Hannah Anderson, who boasts they have the best pajamas ever. And they're not wrong. I ordered Christmas jammies for our entire family that year, including some for myself and for my husband. They are made of organic cotton and are hand-me-down quality, which is a big deal to our big family. Having four girls, it's important to me to be able to have high-quality items that I can pass down to the other kids. They have other items as well, like comfy play dresses, leggings, shirts, sweatshirts, and matchy jammies for your pets as well. For a limited time, first-time customers can use my referral link in the show notes for 20% off your purchase of $100 or more. So buy some jammies for the whole family and save 20% off the best PJs ever, or dress, leggings, shirt, whatever suits your fancy. But the code expires soon, so head to the show notes now. Well, after you finish listening to the episode.
You breastfed both the boys.
I did.
Did you tandem feed from the beginning?
Yes, I did.
Even when they were newborns, you did. How did you, did you take birthing class? How did you figure that out?
So I didn't take any classes. I didn't put pressure on myself. Is basically, I told myself before, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to feed my babies. If I can't breastfeed, then I'm going to bottle feed. It's just, it was no question. So I said, I'm not going to put a lot of pressure on myself. Mainly, I mean, my husband was going to be gone, still working 4 days a month at home, or coming home 4 days a month, and then working outside the home, traveling. And then I had two other kids. I was like, you know, I'm just not going to kill myself. I'm not going to do it. It's not good for me as a mom. And then it's just stressful for the kids. So I just started out breastfeeding, and it just, you know, I was actually worried because it took almost a week for my milk to come in. And I just remember I like was so excited when it finally came in, but it was fine. It just, when I tandem fed them, I would just make sure that I would switch sides every other time, because I was noticing that one was getting bigger, which was Tristan, which was interesting. He's the bigger twin. So maybe he was taking more. I'm not really sure. So I definitely started to switch sides. I'm not sure. I don't even remember if that's something that the doctor recommended. I just remember that's what I did every other time.
So you nursed them for a long time until you got pregnant again.
Yes. So they were 2.5. And I remember I was like, oh my gosh, I'm pregnant with Lauren. I'm like, we just have to be done. It's just time for me to be done. It was actually when I came out for a house finding trip in Cheyenne was when I was like, all right, this is no more.
Did you wake them up in the middle of the night when one would wake up? Did you do that or you let them sleep?
I let them sleep. I did not do the whole wake up thing. I think it also helps though that I had already had two kids. You know what I mean? So sometimes they're like, you know, wake the babies up. I'm like, the babies are going to eat if they are hungry. At least that's in my opinion. That's my babies have been, if they're hungry, they're going to eat. So I didn't really listen to the doctors and they're like, wake them up in the middle of the night.
Like, did you feel like you were awake all night though, feeding babies?
No, I didn't. So I felt really lucky because I feel like my kids slept well. My older two slept well. Lauren slept really well. So I just kind of feel like in the beginning, you know, when they're newborns, you're up every few hours or every couple hours. But I felt like as they got older, the time got longer and longer in between. I don't remember just being super exhausted, being like, oh my gosh, I can't function. You know what I mean?
That's not my experience. I was exhausted. I remember one night I was like, I'm not going to wake them up tonight and I will just let them eat when they want to. And I had a total of like 45 minutes the entire night. And that was not even consecutive 45 minutes. It was just them eating all night long. That's why I was like, I can't do this. So then yeah. I would wake them up. I always thought it was like everybody, but the more moms I talked to, I think a lot of them just feed them when they're hungry and they don't wake the second twin up.
Yeah. I definitely did not wake up the other twin for sure.
You slept with the boys in your room. Do you think that had something to do with it, that they could go back to sleep easily?
Probably. Yeah. When they were newborns, I brought down a crib because I didn't want to be going up and down the stairs, obviously. And then we moved when they were 4 months old to Texas, and their room actually was right next to our room. So that was kind of nice for naps and things like that when they would go in their room. It definitely was easier co-sleeping because they could just... I mean, and obviously I didn't co-sleep when they were like 6 weeks old, but as they got older and I was still breastfeeding, it was easier because I would just nurse them and then I would put them right there and then I'd go back to sleep. Or if one's right there, you're laying there, you just like pull up your shirt and you're like, all right.
And I never co-slept because their little noises bothered me so much, but I can imagine that it's easier to kind of just eat, sleep if you're together opposed to this. Yeah. Waking up fully. Did you feel like you would wake up 100% to feed them, or were you kind of just sleeping?
No, I definitely was awake because I always still had in the back of my head the fact that they were in my bed.
Right. Okay.
It's scary to think, like, again, I don't have an irrational fear of that I'm going to suffocate them or anything like that, but I was still I wasn't asleep, even though I was laying there, you know, with my eyes closed. Nursing them or whatnot.
Your boys are nine.
Nine.
Mm-hmm. They told me that they don't like being twins. Do they say that to you too?
No, they never say that. Well, this is funny because they've been in the same class since kindergarten. They're in the same class again this year and they're in third grade. I asked them the beginning of this year because I was thinking, because one twin, Caleb, we found out last year that he has dyslexia. And so he's getting services for that. And so he's always been like on the high level of reading and he always just gets A's. He's on it and he just doesn't have any struggles with school. Whereas Caleb, you could tell right when he started school that he was going to struggle. And so I don't ever want Caleb to feel less or feel bad, you know, because they're twins. So I asked them at the beginning of this year, I said to you guys, and I asked them separately. I wasn't like, I was like, come here, I have to talk to you about school, you know, but I pulled them aside and I asked them if they wanted to be in the same class again this year. And Tristan, which is funny, is I think that he's the one that said that he didn't like being a twin for whatever reason. I said, do you still want to be in the same class with Caleb? And he said, yes, I do. And I said, well, is there something that you like best about it or that you don't like? And he said, it's nothing that I don't like. I just like knowing that he's there.
Oh,
I know. Isn't that sweet? I mean, he just, even though it's because they have their own friends in school and even their teachers are like, because they don't look alike. So she said that if somebody comes into their class who doesn't know that they're twins, they wouldn't even really know that they're brothers because I mean, they don't look alike. And so just have like hearing him say that he knows that he's there, I think signifies their bond more than I think that they'd like to admit. But
what about Caleb? Did he want to have separate class?
No, he wanted to be in the same class with Tristan. He didn't say anything sweet, but
Caleb.
Yeah.
They have separate friends. Do you worry about competition between the two of them?
I don't, because they're into different sports. And even though, because at first they were on the same sports teams, not with Caleb. Caleb is more like, whatever, if it, you know, it is what it is. So I'm going to go back to when they were on the same baseball team, which Caleb, halfway through the season, Caleb was just done with it. He's like, this is not the sport that I want to do. So you're like, well, you have to finish out the season. He watching that kid swing to hit the ball, you could tell he just didn't care. And guess who hit two balls that season? Caleb. Tristan, of course, on the other hand, who was like trying his hardest. And so Tristan didn't get a hit that season. And you could tell that that was kind of bothering him, that Caleb did, but not Caleb. Caleb is like, oh, whatever, I got a hit. You'll get a hit next time, or, you know. So it doesn't bother Caleb, but I think that's just their personalities. Whereas Tristan, I think it does, because it's just part of his personality.
You are like the cutest twin mom. I feel like you were one of those moms who are made to be a twin mom, because you always have the cutest matchy-matchy and little photo shoots for the kids and matchy everything. Well, mine are boy girl twins, so they don't even have like matching toys, but like you have like cute matching toys and all the matchy-matchy. But then I remember someone gave you a bag of hand-me-downs and you kind of almost freaked out because they weren't matching. You're like, oh my gosh, like I can't let the kids wear these clothes because they didn't come coordinated. So how, right. Now that the boys are 9, I mean, like they never dress the same anymore.
No,
except for special occasions.
No. So we do for pictures. If we're going to take pictures, that's so funny I say that. But then we always take beginning of the school year pictures, like in front of their school. And so this year I had bought a couple of shirts and I want, because I still like them to be like, oh, I like this shirt. I want them to look back and I don't know, like what they wore, I guess, or help pick it out. And so this year I actually let them wear different polos. And I was kind of having a hard time with that, but it's fine. Yeah. So ever since they were in kindergarten, and that's why I did it for so long, because I knew that it wasn't going to last. It wasn't going to be forever. And so I did it up until I knew that they were, I guess, expressing themselves individually, which, you know, you do in school. So it was when they started kindergarten is when I was like, you can, you know, wear whatever you want.
Are you doing okay?
Yeah. I am. And it, you know, obviously as time goes by, it gets easier. I'm terrible. It gets easier.
Well, I feel like a lot of twinhood, I don't know. It's like a lot of it is the mom's and dad's identity as well. Like I'm right? A twin mom.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Do you make them do things together? Well, so, like they're in separate sports. That kind of surprised me that you started putting them in different sports, to be honest.
I know. Well, and so we did, like before they started kindergarten, they did basketball together and then they did soccer together. And then when we got them finally again in sports, it was 3 seasons ago, I made them do baseball, and mainly together because they had neither of them had played baseball. And so I was like, okay, well, try this out. Obviously be on the same team. It's just easier.
Right.
But I could clearly tell that Caleb hated it. He didn't want anything to do with it. And so I had told Mike, because Mike was even the one who was like, no, they have to continuously be on the same sports. And I said, well, they're getting to the age where we can't do that anymore, because if one hates it, why are we dragging them and paying also for them to do these things that they don't want to do? So Caleb really loves soccer. So we put him in soccer last season and that was really good for him.
Why did Mike want him to keep doing the same sport?
Because it's easy. It's easy for us.
Yeah,
we didn't have to. Sure. He wants to do everything together. Like he doesn't want to have to like divide and conquer, which over the last year, when they've gotten into different things, especially now having 4 kids, because Lauren's doing things. And it's just, you have to divide and conquer. You can't all go to the same thing. So that kind of took him a little while to be like, okay, I can't go to every practice. I can't, you know, go to every game, but one of us will be at the games. They know that we love them. They know
right.
We're supportive. We just have to take another kid to another practice or whatever.
Yeah. It's just part of having a big family.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's very true.
So, and then your oldest has a baby, your grandma. Oh
I know.
Young so grandma.
It is kind of weird saying that, but yeah.
What does she call you?
Gigi.
Oh, that's cute.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Yeah, I didn't want to be. I was like, I don't even have any gray hair. I don't want to be grandma.
Okay, tell me that your best advice for twin moms.
My best advice is to just not put pressure on yourself to do one thing or another, like breastfeed or bottle feed, that type of thing. Just go with the flow. Do what you need to do to take care of yourself and to be a great mom, and your kids will be fine. It'll all be fine.
That's good advice, Tamara. Thank you. It's always fun catching up with you, and I'm so excited I convinced you to do this.
I don't have an exciting story, so it's just basic.
No, you know what though? When I found out I was pregnant with twins, I heard all of these horror stories, and you don't have a horror story. So I think it's good to not have a horror story and be like, look, I had these huge babies. They didn't have any NICU time. They were breastfed and I had the vaginally and I had good care. So I think it's good to hear the positive stories too, even if you don't have a horror story, because that's all I heard when I was pregnant. So
yeah. No, I agree. Because I only knew one other person when I got pregnant with my twins, which is my sister-in-law. And she was on bed rest for 10 weeks before. And I was like, oh my gosh, all right, I guess I'm going to be on bed rest. You know, I mean, you start planning for these things because that's just what you hear. And then obviously when you go to the doctor, I mean, and I get it. They want to prep you for like the worst, but there can be nothing but good that comes from all of it.
I agree. It's good to hear both stories. So you kind of know, but I think it's good to have positive stories too.
Yeah, it is for sure.
Thank you, Tamara.
You're welcome. Thanks, Amber.
Thanks for hanging out with me today. If you want to hang out some more, you can follow me on Instagram at @neighborhoodtwinmom. If you want more info on what we talked about in this episode or a transcription of the audio, head to neighborhoodtwinmom.com. If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star rating and review. This helps other people be able to find the podcast. Music for this episode was composed by Cameron Norby. Find more of his work on YouTube.
Sorry. I almost dropped my phone. I didn't